for a beautiful Thursday. We'll see how we can move through our agenda here today. Let's open up a work session on Senate Bill 482. Janet.
Mr. Chair and members, Senate Bill 482 was, if you recall, was at the request of the Oregon Association of Realtors, and it would require, it changes the terms commission to compensation, and in a number of places in the real estate statutes and the Dash 1 amendments, go ahead and change the term commission to compensation in escrow statutes as well. It also, there was not a definition of compensation in the escrow statutes, and so the Dash 1 amendments define compensation to include a commission or other types of consideration. We have the Dash 1 amendments at your place, and I understand there's agreement. The real estate agency worked on these with the council and with the real estate association and the title companies.
Okay. If anybody would like to address the issue, you don't have to, but if there's any concerns over it, this was, as you recall, as Janet mentioned, was just changing the definition to what they felt was more accurate to reflect what they do and what they receive. And if we have none, we have a Dash 1 amendment.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Starr.
Move the Dash 1 amendment to Senate Bill 482.
Senator Starr has moved the Dash 1 amendment to Senate Bill 482. Any discussion? Any objection? It's ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 482 as amended to the Senate floor with the due pass recommendation.
Senator Starr has moved Senate Bill 482 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered.
No.
Yeah, I'm not sure he's excused or not yet. I'm going to wait to see. Well, that's temporarily put Senator Decker as excused, but if I hear he's doing what I think he's doing, I might change my mind on that.
He wouldn't be going to an airplane.
Well, that's tomorrow, but he might be in his office right now. Would you call Senator Decker, by the way, please, and tell him we would expect to see him down here today?
It's sunny outside, Mr. Chair.
Let's open up a work session on Senate Bill 167. Janet.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill 167 has been through a few iterations. It was a request of the Oregon Real Estate Agency, and it is a housekeeping bill. You may recall that at one of the meetings, John DiLorenzo came in and asked for an amendment that would allow the real estate agency to adopt rules governing the maintenance of real estate license records outside the state. That is in the Dash 5 amendments now, and you should have those at your place. Other than that change, the rest of the bill is clarifying terms and definitions in the statutes that govern real estate licensing, and mainly specifying that the real estate agency only has authority to issue broker or property management licenses to individuals. So there's a number of changes to make that clear and to talk about what licensed and non-licensed individuals can do in their exception statutes. The other change in the Dash 5 amendments is adding an emergency clause to make the bill effective on passage.
Okay. Mr. DiLorenzo, you want to come and address your amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. The amendment's fine. The reason for the emergency clause is to allow the real estate agency to promulgate a rule immediately. And so that's the only reason why there's an emergency clause in here. But we have enjoyed our dealings with the agency, and we're very pleased to have this amendment. So unless you have any questions.
Well, let's see. Any questions for Mr. DiLorenzo?
Well, just actually it'd be nice to hear from the agency on whether the emergency clause makes any difference in being able to proceed with the rest of the bill.
Ask and you shall receive, Senator.
In a timely
manner.
Here
is the agency. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Katie Cannon. I'm the acting commissioner for the Oregon Real Estate Agency. We've worked with John on these particular amendments, and we have no issues with the emergency clause. I think we can implement this without any problem.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other issues with the amendments or comments at all from the agency standpoint?
No, we're just wanting to clarify things to make sure that we're very consistent and the exemptions are identified for either individuals or persons.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Okay, so we have the Dash 5 amendment.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Starr.
Move the Dash 5 amendment to Senate Bill 167.
Senator Starr has moved the Dash 5 amendment to Senate Bill 167. Any other discussion? Any objection? So ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 167 as amended to the Senate floor with the due pass recommendation.
Senator Starr has moved Senate Bill 167 as amended by the Dash 5 amendment to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Discussion? Objection? So ordered. Can we put a carrier for the first bill? We got two real estate bills. Senator Starr, you want to be the two real estate bills?
Sure.
Back to back? That would be. Appreciate that.
In about, what, about 3 weeks or a month?
Yeah, well, yeah. You know, sometime before.
Time to prepare.
Yeah. Let's open up a work session on Senate Bill 193. Janet.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill 193 was at the request of the Department of Consumer and Business Services, and the hearing was in the middle of January. It has to do with boilers and pressure vessels and making certain that water heaters that are used in single-family dwellings are subject to the municipal building inspection program instead of state inspection. Some of them are now coming under the definition of boiler or pressure vessel. The Dash 1 amendments at your place would allow the division to specify by rule which boilers and pressure vessels will be subject to the municipal inspection upon installation, alteration, or repair, and exempt those that are subject to municipal inspection from operating permit requirements. It also clarifies who's responsible for the inspections and requires that if local jurisdictions that currently administer inspection program they provide the inspections as permitted by rule by July 1st, 2008. Because a jurisdiction assumes these inspections does not mean that they're assuming other inspection requirements in the statute. There are also were discussions and an additional change needs to be made in the Dash 1 amendments. So this will be carried over till Monday, but any other issues you want to talk about today, there's an issue related to the insurance inspections that was not covered in the amendment as drafted.
Okay. So to expedite, we have to have this amendment before we can move the bill, but I'd like to have the discussion on that additional amendment today. So the proposed amendments further to the Dash 107 to Bill 192, who would like to address those and why we would need those? and if that would complete the loop on this bill when we do bring it back on Monday. Don't be shy. If you know you're going to have itchy legs, come on up. Okay, Mark, let's start with you.
Sure. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Mark Long, the administrator of Building Codes Division. And specific to the amendment that we need, we've worked with the insurance industry since we last heard this bill to clarify their concerns about the language possibly requiring pre-underwriting condition and how we notify each other when there is a boiler that needs an insurance inspection. We resolved the first piece, but we did not get the notification piece into the amendment, and we've agreed with Mr. Monroe and others in the insurance industry that needs to be there, and we'd like your permission to get that in there and bring this back and move the bill out. All the other issues have been addressed with not only the insurance industry, local government, building owners and managers associations, and the industries that we work with.
Okay. Is that an accurate comment for you, the two of you that are also with us today?
Well, Mr. Chairman, Jack Monroe for the American Insurance Association. I think Mr. Long and I were the only two people who were before you when you heard the issue, but it is accurate. We appreciate the time that the chair provided us with, because it took us a while to work through that. But once this amendment is made, we're fine on the mm-hmm. on the bill.
Thank
and,
you.
So we'll look forward to your passing it out on Monday.
Okay. Mr. Brewer, you had a comment.
Yeah, thank you. If I may, I'd like to I'll do this in 1 minute, two bills, and then I could leave if you don't mind, 2045 and 192. Would that be okay?
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Ralph Groner with American Federation of State, County, Municipal Employees. I'm here on behalf of several locals that combine together. Locals are building codes, construction contractors board. We have all the construction industry boards in our union. They came together and began working about a year ago on consumer protection program and government efficiencies. By the way, on the government efficiency side, I hope they can set a model that your committee will look at and challenge people that work on the job in government, state agencies, et cetera, to begin coming in with their own ideas for efficiencies along with management. We happen to have great management here, but we may have ideas in other agencies that our members feel that they'd like to present to you in terms of how to save money. So in that respect, Senate Bill 192 is not our efficiency bill, but it is part of the AFSCME-supported consumer protection package. There are, what, some 12 bills between CCB and BCD. This bill, to us, currently we can't consider other state actions. If somebody's a bad actor, a contractor in Washington State, they come over here, and that we don't have any way under the current law without you amending the way you're talking about, expanding enforcement tools that if they're revoked in this state, it's because they're a bad actor. This is aimed at the bad guys, not minor, petty differences. This is deemed that if you're going to be a contractor, all my members say, one, build the codes, get your permits, and do it in an honest, reputable, and no one will bother you. Next bill, 2045, even more simple. This is our local streamlining champion or government efficiency of the year measure. The reason that is because developers are going to be able to save time and money, and you might wonder why. They can go online and they can get right around 20, they can purchase their permits online 24/7. If they come into my area where I live, Portland Metro, it helps contractors identify where to buy the permit. They can do that online. That saves them a lot of time. Why would a union care about that issue? The more money the contractor makes, the more people they hire, the more income taxes are paid to pay for my other locals. So we support that.
Thank you, Mr. Groner. Thank you very much. Thank you, gentlemen. So what we'll wait for on 193 is to get that other amendment. Please contact Janet with the amendment and the acknowledgement that it looks the way you gentlemen want. And we will hopefully be able to move the bill on Monday. So we'll close work session 193. Open a public hearing on Senate Bill 192. We've heard from Mr. Groner. What else? Janet, why don't you go ahead and give us your synopsis of 192.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. 192, the original bill would have allowed the Department of Consumer and Business Services to suspend a building trades license for up to 30 days without notice or hearing, and expanded the grounds for sanctions against construction contractor licensees. Building code licensees. It also expands the list of prohibited actions by building trade licensees and prohibitions on employing unlicensed boiler workers. Mr. Chair, the Dash 1 amendments maintain some of these provisions, but they eliminate the emergency suspension provisions that were in the first part of the bill. Some of the other stuff is pretty technical. The department's here to explain, and I just wanted to let you know there's no fiscal impact, and you, again, should be looking at the Dash 1 amendments.
Okay, Mr. Long.
Good afternoon. Again, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Mark Long, Administrator of State Building Codes. This is a bill that we bring to you. This is an enforcement bill to help us increase our enforcement ability and provide additional consumer protection in the areas that we regulate at Building Codes Division. We're talking about electricians, plumbers, folks in the boiler industry, as well as in the elevator industry. We bring to you Dash 1 amendments, which are the result of work with various folks in the construction industry. I think the chair is aware, some of the committee members are. We have a group called the Construction Industry Policy Advisory Committee. I bring all the folks together. We discuss the issues of building codes, and we attempt to the best part possible bring a consensus document forward to you. The amendments bring a consensus to you with the support of the contractors. I do need to let the chair know that in review, just before the hearing, there is one piece that we're going to have to modify on page 2 of the amendments and delete lines 14 through 17. We had agreed to that, and we missed that when we turned in the changes to legislative council, and I apologize for that. Other than that, this bill is going to give us the ability to, in its amended form, look at other states when they take an action against an electrician or plumber so that Oregon can look at that. We don't think it's appropriate for someone to lose their license necessarily in Washington and come in and be in good standing without us being able to review that here in Oregon. We also think that it's important to continue our relationship with the Construction Contractors Board, and when they take an action on one of their licenses, that Building Codes has the ability to take an action and vice versa, because we regulate individuals in the construction industry. With that, I'll be happy to conclude my remarks and answer any questions that you have.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Long. Questions on the amendment that Mr. Long has presented, keeping in mind we're going to have to modify that. Senator Stark.
Thank you. Does the fact that somebody's from the state of Washington, contractor, you know, had a suspension, let's say it was 10 years ago. Is it a lifetime ban that you can't, you know, get back into the construction? What's the timeline? Is there an opportunity to kind of pay your penance and then be able to get back into the business?
Mr. Chair, Senator Starr, it wouldn't be a lifetime, and I am just looking at page 2, which in section 4 of the bill, which is the lead-in for that requirement. And I'm testing my memory as I read here, because I believe it's permissive authority on behalf of the division and the board. It is permissive authority for us to look at that. So it is not a mandatory or set any particular time frame that that would occur. It just allows us to do it, which we currently don't have that authority.
Okay. So it is, yeah, it is a may.
Correct.
Thank you.
Other questions? All right. So we'll look maybe. Okay. Yes, Senator George. Sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just a little bit, maybe walk through for me if you could.
Sure.
And I'm sorry I'm asking kind of a simple question here, but currently right now the Contractors Board can suspend somebody and you guys then don't? But basically you have two separate licenses. Explain to me why you would then need to also suspend if they're already taking action against them.
Chair Metzger, Senator George, first and foremost, there are two different separate agencies that license contractors. And through the Construction Contractors Board, they essentially license the general contractors or individuals who are bidding on contracts. I license the trades, the electricians and plumbers. There are both of those entities, my contractors, if you will, have to have a general contracting license through the Construction Contractors Board. And it's possibly appropriate that someone in my area has done something so egregious that they might want to look at it over at CCB to see if they should even be a general contractor. So it gives us the ability to kind of look into those issues, and then vice versa. It may be a general contracting provision that we want to look at it and see if it meets our standards for the electrician or the plumber that I license under my rules. I hope that I've answered your question. It looks like there's more.
Follow up. Good. Excuse me for just being a little naive in this.
It's okay.
Sometimes when you're new on a committee, but what always concerns me is whenever we do things without a hearing or without prior notice, and I just don't want to make sure. I want to make sure that we're not putting people in a whipsaw situation where that they're. I understand it's an egregious situation, but explain to me why there doesn't need to be any kind of notice or hearing ahead of time. Why is that?
Yeah. Chair Metzger, Senator George, I should probably clarify. For either of the two agencies to act, and we've removed the emergency suspension piece out of the bill. That's what the dash amendments do. A contractor in my world, an allegation comes in, we investigate it. We go to a board that's a licensing board that's made up of industry and representatives of the public. They agree with our determination. Let's say the individual doesn't. You go to a public hearing. You get a hearings officer report, and down the road, eventually, you then take that action and sometimes end up in court. After all that's done, you may want to refer that case over to the other agency. And it just means that the other agency does not have to go through the investigative process that we went through. They're still going to have to go through a due process piece in providing notice to the contractor and say, you violated this law, and have a hearing and go through that process as well. They just don't have to do all the investigative side. Same as if CCB did it. I wouldn't have to go through it, but we still have to give the contractor due process whenever we fine, suspend, revoke, whatever.
That clears it up. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Okay, so we'll look to get that back, and let's try to do that one on Monday as well as we're moving down the pike here. All right, we'll close the.
That was a hearing. A little bit of work session, then I can be good too.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Close the public hearing on 192. Open a work session on 192. Close the work session on 192. That's technical, according to the boss here. So she runs the show, as you all know, and isn't that a good thing? Now let's open up a public hearing on Senate Bill or House Bill 2405. Janet.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This bill did pass the House on a unanimous vote, and it allows the Department of Consumer and Business Services to proceed with the expansion of the electronic permitting system that they piloted in the metropolitan area of Portland as a statewide system, phased in, and it's permissive in terms of jurisdictions that sign up for it. It would require the department to make the system available for use by municipalities and that are administering and enforcing building inspection programs. The department would develop the form and format for the exchange of information and such standards. Mr. Chair, this has gone through the House and did not have a referral to the Ways and Means Committee in the House. It does have a referral to the Ways and Means Committee in the Senate, but there's been discussions with the Senate President's office, with the agency, and with the legislative fiscal staff, because this is already anticipated in the budget for that agency, so it may not need a referral to the Ways and Means Committee. You do have the fiscal impact statement at your place. You also have a letter that was signed by the CPAC, signed by the trades, and it's a one-page letter that looks like this behind the fiscal impact statement.
Okay.
And we'll be handing out some additional material about the e-permitting program, and the agency is here to explain.
Thanks, Janet. Mark always goes all the way back into the road. Even though he knows he's coming, he has to come all the way back out. So please come forward. A couple of things. First of all, although I did not speak specifically about this bill, I did meet with Senator Schrader, co-chair Schrader, yesterday, and he did express his desire not to have all these fee things go down to Ways and Means that weren't particularly lottery or general fund issues, and trying to move things along. So we will ask to rescind the Ways and Means when we get done with this bill and send it down. And then the second point would be, I know Senator Deckard's well aware of this, and I'm not sure about Mona Sanderson, when we started the e-permitting about, I think, 5 years ago, and quite a discussion about that, and it's been a great success, and I'm glad that we're expanding upon this opportunity. We've heard from Mr. Groner, who was the other one that signed up, and now we have Mr. Long for his trifecta.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, for the record, Mark Long, Administrator of State Building Codes Division. This is probably one of the things that we're most proud of to bring to the legislature and to this particular committee. As the Chair indicated, this is something that we've been working on with our construction industry partners since 2003, when Senate Bill 713 originally passed, creating a pilot. We expanded that pilot out of the metro area on a statewide basis through House Bill 3097 in 2005, and we today bring you House Bill 2405, which really takes e-permitting in the construction industry to the next level. Just to give you a quick background, this is the largest regulatory streamlining effort in the state to look at construction permits on an annual basis. There are anywhere from up to 800,000 permits purchased by contractors through state and local governments for construction permits. And what we're going to do with this system is allow for contractors to apply, pay, and receive their authorizations for those permits online 24/7 through any jurisdiction on a statewide basis at the end of our 10-year period. This is something that through the last interim we put together a feasibility group and had multiple stakeholders, local government folks. We brought in experts from the high-tech community as well as the vendors that provide this product. And what we want to do is purchase a proven off-the-shelf commercial piece of equipment and make this available to these jurisdictions. I think in your packets you should have a letter of support from the various contractor groups that we've worked with, and you should have also a letter of support from the community development forum, I believe, that looks at these issues of significant economic benefit to the state. I can't tell you enough how important it is that once we decide to build in Oregon, that we provide a mechanism for that construction to happen quickly, timely, and consistently, no matter where we build. And that's what this bill attempts to do. With that, I did provide you written testimony, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Long. A couple of things. Give us a little bit more on the in the bill in terms of developing a uniform standards for these permits, and then a little bit about the how the fees are set for the legislation.
Chair Metzger, I'll start off with the fees. The fees are contractor paid. It's a surcharge on each building permit that's collected or issued at the local government. The bill gives us permissive authority to set, or sets it at a 5%, but allows us to lower the amount through a rulemaking effort. The governor's budget suggests a 4% surcharge, and we've provided, and I hope that you have them in front of you, multiple letters that clarify that we will set by rule a 4% surcharge on building permits that are issued around the state to fund this program over the 10-year period. There's been some debate about that. We wrote the bill in a flexible manner so that we could address the ongoing needs of the program. And eventually, we will be out of the development implementation phase and just in the maintenance phase and anticipate lowering that amount as we get further down the project. Essentially, what happens with this project, Mr. Chair, is we're going to spend about a year and a half going through the procurement process, which is fairly normal, and setting up the appropriate user groups and work teams to implement the system. Once we get up and running, we're going to add about a jurisdiction a month onto the system. There's 130 on a statewide basis, so you can see that even at a jurisdiction a month, it's going to take some time to get everybody hooked up to the e-permitting system. As far as the standardization with the forms and permit processes and whatnot, when we work with the jurisdictions to get them on the system, we have to have consistent business processes, because it doesn't make much sense when you're in an IT world to have a variety of differences. We learned a great deal in doing that with our pilot program, which I believe we're up to 12 jurisdictions right now, where we're issuing limited electrical permits, limited plumbing permits, limited mechanical permits online, what we really call over-the-counter permits that don't require plan review. The difference between what we're doing currently and what we propose to do is all permits, including plan review, and no matter whether it's a small permit or a large project, to be able to have that transaction, the submission of that paper done electronically through the system. So standardization is going to be important as we work with the jurisdictions. It's not a mandate on jurisdictions. When we did our survey this interim, there were 53 likely jurisdictions that indicated a need to get on such a system and would work with the state to plug into our e-permitting program once we got it up and running. So,
okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Long. Thank you for your work on this and over the last number of years. Questions for Mr. Long? Senator Stark.
Thank you. The question I have is related to the permit and the fees.
Mm-hmm.
Is this additional fee based on the electronic building codes information system in addition to the other 1% fee that you already have for permits?
Mr. Chair, Senator Starr, yes. This is in addition to the other surcharge fees that are currently collected at the local jurisdiction level.
Mr. Chair,
this is a 4% on top of.
How soon do you expect that this program will be up and running and to the point where you don't need to have these fees to this level?
Mr. Chair, Senator Starr, our plan right now is 10 years. So I will have more information closer to that date. Essentially, and I don't know if I'm repeating myself, it's about a year and a half for procurement and getting the system going. Then once we do, it's about a jurisdiction a month with 130 jurisdictions. You spread that over time, that's 10 years.
Mr. Chair, follow up. So you wouldn't oppose us if we amended the bill to include a sunset on these fees for the end of the biennium 2017?
Mr. Chair, Senator Starr, not at all. The industry's talked to us about that. We've indicated that they have a sunset on this and other issues that I'm involved in every 2 years, and to the best of my knowledge, have agreed to allow this bill to go forward in its current shape. But we're always open to concerns of our contractors.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Martha Anderson.
Yeah. When do you think we can start implementing? How long will it take? And I think it says here that we're starting in the Portland area.
Mr. Chair, Senator Montes Anderson, again, we already have a pilot program that provides for limited approval of limited application of these permits. We're continuing to expand that as we speak now. We're working with jurisdictions. Last week we were over in the Clatsop County area trying to get jurisdictions on board. For this particular program, at the end of this next biennium that we're going to be going into, we anticipate again, purchasing the system, going through all the procurement design development stage, which is about a year and a half, and then begin hooking jurisdictions up to the full system that allows for a great deal of services, plan review, inspection tracking, automatic notification to contractors. We believe we're going to get about three jurisdictions that first biennium and then one a month every for the rest of the biennium throughout.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Okay, so I think what we will do is, as Senator Starr had suggested, we'll ask that amendment be made to for a sunset provision for the fees in Section 5 of 2017, which, of course, will allow you to come back prior to that time and see how things are, if you need an extension or a reduction or whether the sunset at that time will go forward.
Will you be here?
Well, you said you were going to be here. No, that you said just before that date, so I think you're on the record as being committed. But what I'd like to do is just have that amendment drafted, and then we will move the bill that way and give you the opportunity to do that. And again, the program I know has worked very, very well for contractors, and it's just, well, everyone, I think, jurisdictions. And the fact that you've had so much interest by the jurisdictions now after the Metro launch of this a number of years ago really does show you know, what the advocates were telling us in the first place, we knew the problem, but that this actually could help solve it, and it really has been a valuable program. Senator Starr.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I, too, just want to thank you for working with some of the larger manufacturers who build very expensive manufacturing facilities in the billion-dollar range. I happen to have one of those that was built in my backyard. Mm-hmm. And when you talk about these kinds of fees on those kinds of investments, you're talking about a lot of money. And my understanding is the department's willing to negotiate when you have a facility of that magnitude where the fee probably would way out match the actual cost. So appreciate, you know, your commitment to work with folks that have those kinds of very, very large kinds of construction projects.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Senator Starr, you know, it's my hope that there's another one of those investments soon, but should there be one, we need to talk to them about how that impacts them.
Thank you. All right, let's close public hearing on House Bill 2405. Tomorrow, members will be at Milwaukee High School at 10:30, and we've got panels of students who are being prepped to argue for and against the bills that we'll have on the agenda. So, and they'll be participating in that at the library at Milwaukee High School, so it should be a very, very enjoyable day. So we'll see you tomorrow, and we are adjourned.
We're scheduled to wrap up.